The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Do you know what day it is today?
Yes.
You know what day it is today? It's Super Bowl Sunday, right? And judging by the sea of red, I would guess that most of you are either 49ers fans or that other team, the Chiefs. It's a sea of red out there. And, you know, I've got to tell you that this day has become really something of a national holiday. And that status is indicated by the fact that tomorrow an estimated 17.5 million people are going to skip work. And you can imagine the excuses, you know, on the phone. Hey, sorry, I can't come in. You know, I got that coronavirus. Corona beer virus is more like it, you know, with a twist of Lyme disease thrown in. Even our extremely Lutheran desk calendars, which give details such as the fact that this is the day of the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord, even our desk calendars have in tiny red letters, Super Bowl. Now, I know what you guys are probably thinking. A lot of you are thinking, go 49ers, Super Bowl champions. And I know that without a mighty, mighty work of the Holy Spirit, my sermon doesn't have a snowball's chance of being remembered once your feet hit the parking lot. And maybe sooner than that. So in the spirit of these upcoming festivities, I want you during the sermon to think about a song that's been going through my head, a song that's been on my mind for the last several days, which starts something like this. Now, a lot of you know that to be the song, "We Are the Champions, My Friends," right? Right? You know that. Okay, so think about that song as you listen to the sermon today. And believe it or not, that song, "We Are the Champions," actually is a great segue into our gospel and our message for today, which states, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the champions, says the song. Blessed are the losers, says Jesus, or so it would seem that that's what he's saying. And if that's true, then God's kingdom must be an upside-down kingdom. It must be crazy. For instance, in our world, who wants to be poor in spirit? There's myriads of books on the market that tell you how to be rich in spirit. Who wants to be poor in spirit? Who sees the blessedness of being meek? Who even teaches that? That's not a quality that's going to get you ahead in life, you know, winning through being meek. Who wants to be merciful unless, of course, there is such a thing as karma and somehow or another mercy comes back to you? And really, who wants to be persecuted and mistreated in order to obtain joy? You know, people who derive joy from being mistreated are called masochists. And don't they have therapists to help people with that sort of problem? But if Jesus' words are true, then it means that it's actually the world that is upside down and the kingdom of God, which is right side up. And if a church were fit only for the spiritually successful, that is, those who are rich in spirit, well, if Jesus' words are true, then in some sense, that church would be a false church, and it would be a false gospel that they were preaching. The word blessed, by the way, can be translated as happy, but it might be better to say joyful. Happy implies that your circumstances put you in that mood. Joyful, on the other hand, implies that you can have that mood, that joy, in spite of your circumstances. So let's go with joyful. Joyful are the poor in spirit. This set of eight or nine blessed sayings, the Beatitudes, they're often known as, depending on how you count it, it's eight or nine, describes the joy of those who become part of God's kingdom in the here and now. These blessed sayings are not supposed to be quality of just a handful, an elite, some kind of super spiritual handful of people in the church. No, they describe Jesus' description of what every Christian ought to look like, what every Christian ought to be. In other words, I should be able to preach salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and still be able to say, as Martin Luther does, that if you're a Christian, then you ought to look like the Beatitudes. Now, these Beatitudes are not some random list in some random order. Bible scholars all the way back to the ancient church tell us that there is a progression here, that there's, some call it a golden chain or a golden circlet to these sayings. In other words, this is what a Christian looks like as they progress through life with Christ. Let's take the Beatitudes now in order. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The Christian life starts when someone realizes that they are poor in spirit, when they acknowledge their spiritual poverty, indeed their spiritual bankruptcy before God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Have you acknowledged this truth for yourself, that you are, in fact, bankrupt spiritually before God? The next beatitude, blessed are those who mourn. This is the second stage of spiritual blessing. Having acknowledged our spiritual poverty, our natural response is to grieve and to mourn over our sins. Jesus wept over the sins of the world. We too should be able to weep and mourn over the evil that's in us as well as in the world. And that's really the proper response to our sinfulness. Do you mourn over your sins? Now, I have to tell you on occasion that I do, even now, when I think about some of the past things that I've done, I get really torn up about it. Things that I've committed, sins I've committed. And quite often I come in here on a Sunday morning and I really am hanging on to those words of absolution that we hear every week. If we truly mourn over our sins, Jesus tells us, we are blessed with the comfort from that word of grace that we receive. Blessed are the meek. The Greek word means gentle, humble, and considerate. You know, I can, with some ease, say words like, I, a poor, miserable sinner, or as we have it in our confession, absolution, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, etc. I can say that. I can say that. But if you call me a poor, miserable sinner, or you say to me, you have sinned against God in your thoughts, words, and deeds, I'm going to want to punch you. How do you and I receive gut-honest words that convict us? Does your mourning over sins lead you to a meek spirit with people, a humble spirit, contrite and considerate? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, there are three aspects of righteousness in the Bible. There's legal righteousness, moral righteousness, and social righteousness. The legal righteousness is the righteousness before the face of God. And through the cross and by faith, God declares us legally righteous because of our faith in Christ. And this legal pronouncement, if you will, this legal righteousness produces the other two aspects of righteousness, the moral righteousness and the social righteousness. If you have the root of salvation, in other words, you should produce the fruit of salvation. Luther put it this way, a hunger and thirst for righteousness can never be curbed or stopped or satisfied. If you cannot make the world around you completely pious, then do what you can. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness like that? Are you doing everything you can to bring about righteousness in you and around yourself? Blessed are the merciful, to forgive and to be forgiven, to be shown mercy and to receive mercy. This is what Christians do. These Beatitudes are, do you notice they're getting harder, more difficult? Blessed are the merciful. Showing mercy is something that we all need to grow in. Being able to give forgiveness. It's hard because mercy, by definition, is given to those who don't deserve it. I suppose it would be easy to forgive somebody who we feel deserves a break. But for those who do not deserve a break, well, showing mercy to that person is really tough. Because mercy, by definition, is always undeserved. Blessed are the pure in heart. The emphasis here is on inward purity as opposed to outward show. In other words, it's not about how a person looks. It's not about the appearance they give, no matter how righteous. It's not about how they smell. Luther says it's about whether they ponder God's word in their hearts and obey it. So it's a question of where my heart is. Am I walking the walk or just talking the talk? Blessed are the peacemakers. So it's not just enough for me to have peace with God or even peace with others. I should be helping people around me find peace as well. I should be helping others reconcile with each other. Wow, when we talk about that, it almost sounds like community building and evangelism all rolled in one. This is getting really demanding. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Okay, that's it. Rejoice when you're badly treated. Rejoice, be happy about it. Feel joy when somebody is mistreating you for the sake of Christ. You know, it's one thing to be persecuted, but we don't have to rejoice and be glad about it, do we? That's not humanly possible. That really isn't within us to have that emotion as a response to being mistreated. But that's what a Christian looks like, folks. Rejoice because in the world's eyes, even if that makes you a loser, even if you're a loser on the losing end of life, in Christ's eyes, you're a champion. Great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. And if you feel that this is just unrealistic, and it's just humanly impossible, well, join the club. I think that living this way will eventually make me unfit for the world. You know, if we took the Beatitudes, all 8 or 9 of them, applied them to our lives, eventually we would be unsuitable for living in this world because it gets you thinking that the problem is the world and not us. It gets you thinking that to be a part of Jesus' kingdom is to be a sort of a upside-down, right-side-up existence, and the world must be upside-down. And believe you me, that's a hard way to live. But you know what? We are the champions, my friends. Who's the champion? The song says, no time for losers. Well, who is a loser? Who's the real champion and who's the real loser? Well, the biggest loser perhaps of all time is the one who judges himself poor in spirit. Empties himself, in fact. The biggest loser is he who mourns over the sins that he carries, even though those sins are not his. The biggest loser is he who is meek, who will not trample a suffering person like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. Biggest loser is he who is not filled, but he who hungers and thirsts for God's righteousness to be accomplished. You know, it's interesting that Jesus, while he was dying on the cross, one of his 7 last words was, I thirst. The biggest loser is merciful. He's pure in heart. He makes peace, God to man, person to person, Jew to Gentile. The biggest loser is persecuted for righteousness' sake, and especially when they revile him and utter all kinds of evil against him and treat him like the prophets of old. And they kill him. They hang him up on a cross to die as a common criminal, as the dregs of society, the offscouring of all of society, all of humanity heaped upon his shoulders. That's the biggest loser. And you wonder, did he rejoice and be glad on that day, on the day of his crucifixion? Did he? Was he joyful. Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And the Gospels tell us that he conquered sin and death and the devil when he arose on the third day and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. No, I can't do the Beatitudes. I cannot, and neither can you. But we have a champion who did and who can. And by God's grace, the root of salvation, the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, is growing in us. And he is producing the fruit of blessedness in our lives until he returns. So in Christ, we are the blessed. We are more than overcomers in Christ. In Christ, we inherit the world, and in Christ, we can even sanctify that song, you know, that I started off with. We can even sanctify that song and sing to him and sing with him. We are the champions, my friends. You want to join in with me? Come on, let's join together. Let's sing it, all right? Why not? It's Super Bowl Sunday. What the heck? Come on, you know the words. We are the champions, my friends. We'll keep on fighting to the end. We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are the champions of the world. Sorry about that last note. In a very sanctified sense, we can sing that because Jesus, who became the biggest loser of all, has become our champion. So embrace this upside-down, right-side-up kingdom by embracing Jesus. And as we prepare for his feast, his communion around the table, remember this. Remember this, folks. Go away with this one. Blessed, ultimately, are those who partake in Jesus. Amen.